Dragon Slayer, considered to be one of the most unique and different books in the Wings of Fire series. This book contains the stories of Leaf, Ivy, and Ren, as in the Shadow of Wings, they fight for survival. Well, hope you like that intro, because that's what we're going with. Well, these humans are basically experiencing near-death experiences their entire lives, so I figured I'd put that in. Anyway, if you were listening, you read the title, you know those people. You'd know that we're doing. I'm just doing whatever with the Wings of Fire Legends Dragon Slayer, and probably ruining it for you with all the technicalities of. Okay, let's start with number one, the cover. There's going to be a lot of page turning and noises in this episode because I have it in front of me. Okay, the cover is actually a really cute and generic design. The dragon proportions are always wrong on the covers, and I could do a lot better, no offense whatsoever. I guess it's pretty standard. I mean, if you look very closely at this head, it looks like they have the Dragon Knights of Destiny mounted on there, but I'm in a hive wing, but I'm 99% sure they're not. Like, I see two Glories, a Clay, a Sunny, two Nightwings, how'd those get there, and, like, several others. But I think there was, I don't know, but the cover design is actually really great, and it portrays the three characters really nicely, who are Leaf, Ivy, and Ren, in case you didn't notice, and then it's just got all the standard stuff. Dragon Slayer, the actual inside cover, is actually really interesting. It's like a mossy green color with the red. I love the green color. It makes it really feel like it was made by scavengers, and the inside, which is like a papery texture. The red, I feel like I would have gone with gold, but they're also kind of low on everything, so. Here we go. It's dedicated to Kari, who would totally ride a dragon and saved this book, so this was an idea. Okay, first time since the other Legends book and the other continent, they changed the map again, so we've got, I don't understand the technicality of this, so they have this perfect drawing of the entire continent, precision, every island, every little indent in the Sandwing Kingdom, like, I feel like they kind of had to do that, otherwise people would be kind of confused, they would just have, like, they really would just have this general shape in there, but no. They have this detailed thing, a copy, except for we have different things. In the Sea Wing Tale, we have here be underwater dragons. In the rainforest, we have here be dragons. Probably. We have a safe harbor, indestructible city, talisman, valor, which are the four dragon cities. We have the mountain dragon palace, the terrifying viper pit of dragons, and the desert dragon palace. Terrifying Viper Pit of Dragons is a scorpion den because it's down closer to Valor than the Desert Dragon, closer to the river where Possibility is located. Desert Dragon Palace is a stronghold. Mudwing doesn't have anything, just Here Be Dragons. We have the Mountain Dragon Palace with Here Be Dragons, and then the Icewing Kingdom. Here Be Dragons? Question mark. There's a lot of dragons. Why, thank you, Mr. Obvious Map Maker. We have the Nightwings. Okay, we have the Night Dragons. Same description abilities, but they also have Habitat and Watch Out For. Swamp Dragons, Desert Dragons, Mountain Dragons, Sea Dragons, Rainforest Dragons, Ice Dragons. You can probably guess what those are if you're listening to this. So the prologue is just these kids, about 16 years old, stealing things from the Queen Oasis and killing her. Thinking their sister is dead and then rising off, and Stone is thinking his brother is a psychopath. Chapter 1. Okay, Ren is our first main character, who's probably my favorite. So, she's going to be fed to a dragon, let's just say. She doesn't know it, so her parents pin her down, oil her hair and whatnot, make it straight, and then take her up the mountain to be fed by a dragon. So she gets really mad at this because it's not fair if she gets eaten by dragons and everybody else doesn't get eaten by dragons, in her opinion. She's 7 years old at the time, and she's, like, very yelly. So she gets dragged down, and then apparently she stole these books when she was about, 4 or 5 years old and read them all. And so she and they start chant, and the Dragonmancers start chanting these words, and she recognizing them from the gift to the dragon ceremony. So she does what your standard 7-year-old would do and starts punching and biting and kicking and screaming and generally telling them that they're all awful mean and she doesn't care if they get eaten because they're big and they're mean and they would deserve it. They eventually tie her up, but they didn't get to say all their stupid blessing words, and that's actually in the book, so I'm pretty sure it's okay to say. Should be. She should have been more suspicious, but it's really nobody suspects to be fed by dragons. Or tomorrow, if you woke up and found out you were going to be fed to dragons, you would not be expecting that, even if we did live in a world with dragons. And she thinks it's unfair because, oh, Camilla's going to play with Ren dolls. That wouldn't be fair if I got eaten by dragons and my sister got to play on my iPad. That's not fair either. So, yeah. And she has a bunch of fanfics and eventually escapes. And then she realizes, oh, the smart thing to do is not go back to the village because then they'll tie me up and tighter. Like, this 7-year-old Ren is already working everything out. And what do you know? She finds this little dragon net caught up in the tree branches, and she pulls him out. He's cold and whatnot, so she, rescues him, names him Sky, and hides from a dragon with a burn mark on her face. And the last line of the chapter is, together, she and Sky were gonna be amazing. Which is cute. And then we start off with Leaf, who one could say Leaf did not like dragons. Like, this is gonna be really just. We're gonna go between Ren, who's hanging out with a dragon, and Leaf, who's hating on them. Okay, so Leaf apparently still believes that Ren was eaten by dragons and is very mad about it. Like, very. He just liked it. Apparently, they have a lot of rules like, no, you cannot not play outside today. The dragons are restless. And it's like, avoiding dragons, protecting dragons, hiding from dragons, and not annoying dragons. So yeah, they live in constant fear of the dragons, and it's just like, oh Jesus. And the most annoying line in the entire book is, follow the rules. The rules will keep you safe. Do exactly what you're told. Listen to the dragon masters. Never ever be disobedient. If you said that now the child would do exactly the opposite, you said graffiti something. Oh, you know, probably shoplift too. I mean, children these days. And then his father is just a warrior. They're like, dragons everywhere. It's a miracle we've lived this long. We'll probably get burned up in our beds tomorrow. And then what Ren would normally do is roll her eyes and say, well, how are we supposed to avoid that by following the rules? Is there a rule about sleeping in less flammable pajamas? There's a lot of sarcastic comments in here. I think it's easier because they're human and we'll get that stuff. So she didn't follow all the rules or anything. She was a general misbehavior, and we learned about all their adventures. They also have four older siblings, who are all girls, and etc. And Ren often wonders the Dragonmancers, who are sort of like their holy prophets, except they're kind of like, the gods sent me a message of a shooting star. We must give them half the sunflowers, because the star was pointing to the east, and still are our sunflowers. Or something crazy like that. And she says, at least the dragons are bossing us around every single minute of every single day. So they run around the house. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm not going into super detail, but this. So Leaf is very mad, and when parents break the news that she was eaten by dragons, Leaf gets really mad, saying he's mad at the dragons who ate her. And he says, "I don't want to study dragons," and they're like, and he actually insults the Dragonmancers, which is probably his finest moment, and he says he doesn't want to study dragons. He wants to stab them and shoot them and kill as many as he can. Very murdery. We're 2 chapters in, and this dude is already talking about murdering. I mean, the dragon at Prophecy was 6 chapters in before Dune died. I mean, talk about it. And then when his mom goes, no humans ever killed the dragon, his oldest sister, Rowan, says, it is too possible, who's been just sitting up there in the hammock the entire time, like nobody noticed. She's right there, just sitting there, listening, and nobody's noticed. Like, every single sister could be hiding in those hammocks and nobody know. No privacy in this old-fashioned world. And she says her friend Grove, who there may or may not be a relationship between the two, say it's true. Some of them used to live in the he used to live in the Instructable City, apparently, and some of them had really met the Dragon Slayer. And his mom goes, "No, that's not true. Utter nonsense," etc., 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 etc. Blah blah blah. And so his parents are denying it, and Rowan's just going all out like, blah blah. And then Storyland and his mother and their mom says, "Slaying dragons is absolutely against the rules. The dragon master is forbidden, and I forget it too." And her dad goes, "What have you done?" Because Leaf is just pretending to slay dragons. And she says, "Serves you right, and you know why." And her father asks one more time if he wants to be a dragon mancer. And his mom was like, "There's no need to kill dragons. We just be safe and follow the dragon mancer's rules." And he says their horrible rules didn't save his sister. So he goes on top of the tallest stool and does that kind of cute little thing where the little kid stands up there and says, "I want to be a firefighter," or "I want to be a police officer," or, oh my God, that was a horrible, but he says, quote, "I won't be scared of them. I'll swear on the sword one day every little sister in the world will be safe, for I shall be the next and greatest dragon slayer of them all." He doesn't end up killing any dragons, and that's not a sword, it's a stick. Okay. Time for us to meet our third character, Ivy. And if, Mommy, is Daddy famous? After the people at the party, they were acting like he's maybe famous. Ivy is the daughter of the Dragon Slayer, you know, the one who killed Queen Oasis and ended up killing basically everybody. Everybody. Like, not everybody, but a lot of dragons. And she says, oh yes, he is it's famous. Probably the most famous person in the world. She's talking really cute. She's probably about 3 years old in this chapter. Because he did a dragon stare a long time ago. And her mom's like, "Dragon Slayer, yes." And she's just being this really cute 3-year-old the entire time, asking questions that actually get us a lot. Like her two friends, Ivy and Daffodil. Or at least, I mean, it's Daffodil, and we meet, so Daffodil's kind of crazy, and she's just doing all these things. So she was born in the hidden city of Valor years after the dragons burned their village to cinders and tried to hunt them all down into extinction. She's basically spent her entire life in the tunnels and the survivors and Dragon Slayer followers that hollowed out the earth, the only place where the dragons would find them. Of course, her dad, who is like this boisterous, mean guy, doesn't talk about that part. He talks about the slaying, the blood, and the fire, and the sand, and if they gave him enough to drink, like really, that's a sign. He'd talk about the treasure, the glistening Lazuet dragon. Like, oh my God. And then, so apparently, he also kept another trophy, which is a Sandwing Tail Barb. If you don't remember that detail from the fifth book, then oh well. But yes, Sandwing Tail Barb, he took it, along with all the treasure. And so he keeps it in this weirdly colored pedestal in the living room, and everybody's kind of scared of it. And all the little girls are like, "What if a whole other dragon grows out of it? Like how lizards can grow back from their tails. It's a lizard grow back to tails, and the tail grows back to lizards, but okay. Or what if I accidentally sleepwalk into it and gets poisoned?" And she thinks it's quite reasonable, which would be fair if I had this really. It's this creepiest room decoration. It's a stark cross of blood on one end, a barb gleaming with venom, like a scorpion stinger. And I don't understand why anyone would want to keep it looking at, let alone keep it in a fancy box on a tapestry-covered pedestal where everybody would have to look at it just encrusted in blood, like gross. And so she preferred to sleep over at everybody else's house. Sort of like you never want to sleep over at your own house because you have to get your parents in your same old room. But this, she doesn't want to sleep over at her house because, well, she's got a giant dragon body part in her living room. And so she's practically the princess, but she doesn't act like one, which I would burn this book if she did. And every night, her mom does that really cute thing where she tells her a story, and it's the same exact thing every night. I'd be like, "Forget this. I'm gonna read myself to sleep." And I'm like 11 years. Ivy's 11 years old, and her mom comes in like, "One bedtime story." I'm like, "I know. He goes there. He slays him. He comes back with the treasure. Reward. I know this. Just let me read my book."
like no, none of that lies. And she asked where the treasure is, and nobody knows where it is. Like, what the? And they'll have to be like, you'll understand when you're older, or that's not in curriculum. And why don't you do another math work slate? That's the most lame excuse teacher ever. And so then we meet her two friends, Ivy and Daffodil, and they have transcending personalities. Or like, they're like yin and yang, and I cannot remember. I'm pretty sure yang is the. No, they're not light and dark, but they're so different. Like, we've got Daffodil, and she's this bright, wee festive, overreactive, yelly type of person, and she wears yellow after her colorful namesake. And then Ivy studies law, and she's always arguing over the technicalities, and she spots the most and things, and she's just like the smartest person there in their age, probably even a grade up. And she's really technical. And then Ivy's sort of the one who like keeps them from fighting, like the mediator, and she's also really good at art. So yeah, we've met all of the characters that are important. Also, they mentioned a banishment where this kid named Pine was banished for going near the old village or whatnot. I'm like, that doesn't seem fair. And her teacher just goes, that's silly. Why don't you go outside and play and whatnot? So eventually they make this the secret club called the Truth Seekers, which is actually kind of cute, but their clubs don't last long. And also Daffodil has sibling problems. Daisy is Daffodil's older sister, age 9. And she's actually pretty perfectly pleasant. And Daffodil says she loathes her. And just like for every single way possible. Like, do not write perfect sibling relationships into these children if they're not going to have perfect sibling relationships as children. And blah, 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 blah. So they're studying the Wing Watchers Dragon Guide. Sand dragons, ice dragon, each of them was painted with a little tiny scale, the color of gems. Ivy is just loving these things. And she keeps thinking maybe some, because the banishment was obviously a lie. Ivy's dad's bringing back stuff from the old village all the time. So, and she thinks maybe some of the Dragon Slayer stories lie too. I wonder how the dragons would tell it if they could tell their own stories. And now it's when everyone reading the book starts screaming, oh yeah, this happened, then this happened. But of course you can't do that. You can't have a conversation with a book. Back to Ren. Yeah, she's hanging out with Skye. He loved it. He loves animals like snails. And he'll see when he'll throw himself down on the ground and just watch it forever. I mean, they say he does this quite oftenly, but really, I guess this isn't. I guess Pryoria's snail population is bigger because I have not seen a snail in like forever. I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, this snail population thing. She's getting to me. Oh, and he speaks really cutely, like Herbal Rorf. It's really cute. Oh, and he's vegetarian. Did I mention that? Like, she brought down this rabbit with her slingshot, and I'm just reading this off of here. And he cries tears. Oh my god, we need to animate this book out of all the books. This book. Because it is a baby dragon watching snails and sobbing over dead rabbits. And so they come down from the mountains, and once they're outside the hunting ground, she's just chilling, doing stuff. And so they end up near the desert and decide, nope, Diddy, nope. And then she decides maybe we should go to the Indestructible City to trade and like get stuff. And so she says, so they've sort of figured out a way to communicate, and she goes, need map, and something like that. And they've done this cute little thing. They say, happy us. Keep going, keep going, just keep going. And so they reach the mountain, and they see a couple of dragons playing in a hole. And actually, she's looking down. There were dragons below, and she goes, could be worse. Could be humans. Ah, Jesus. So there were four small dragons galloping around in the cave, chirping and rolling and wrestling one after another. See if you can guess who these dragonettes are. Another was curled on an outcropping, holding something in his claws. It's something that rustled and rolled like paper. And he had his snout buried in it with a riveted expression. Is he reading that? Wren thought with surprise. Dragons can read? Skye was probably too little to have learned to read dragon before she found him. She wondered if she could teach him to read her language. Hang on, she thought. All of those dragons are different colors. She squinted. The firelight, the fuzz of smoke made it difficult at first, but she was pretty sure she could see five different sets of scales. Yellow, blue, green, black, and brown. The only one that was familiar with was the brown, which matched the Mahoney scales that they've seen on the swamp dragons. Can you guess? Where's a good... It's the dragonettes! Da-na-na-na-na. Okay, so they found the cave of the dragonettes of destiny are coming in. And she thinks, how can they get together without killing each other? It's called friendship! Oh, Jesus. Okay, so she thinks maybe dragons are better than getting along. And he has the saddest... And she glances over at Skye, and he has the saddest little face you'd ever see. He goes... You can't see this, but he goes... And she figures out, she deduces he's not sad because she has friends, but he's sad because he can't light fires. He has no fire in him. And they keep talking like safe us, happy us, and they're just really adorable together. And she realizes it's not a dragon thing, it's a sky thing. He doesn't have any fire. He's supposed to, but for some reason he doesn't. He wasn't sad about not having dragon things. He was sad he couldn't breathe flames like that. I bet that's why the red dragon threw him away. The mountain tribe didn't want a baby with no sire. She was probably searching the river to make sure she hadn't drowned. Poor little Skye. She tells him that he's fine and that he's perfect, even if he's weirdly obsessed with snails. Snails? So a really heartwarming chapter with Wren and Skye. Back to Leaf trying to murder everybody. Okay, so Leaf would have guessed his second favorite sister would turn up to be Rowan. She was oldest, and she usually ignored everybody. And so she found out one day, after he asked her to tell her the Dragon Slayer story for the 400th time, he came out of school to find her leaning against the school holding a book, and the teacher says, that's unusual ancestry for you, so apparently she's got a history. And then she says she's going to help Leaf study for the Dragonmancer's apprentice. So she wanted to help prepare him. And so Rowan apparently is a great liar because she held her Jason doesn't crack. And then the teacher's like, but if your parents aren't fine with it, I suppose I don't care. If you are chosen as be a bad Dragonmancer, I hope you remember your real teacher fondly. And Rowan finds this quite amusing, but at least she'll be nicer to him in case he does end up a Dragonmancer. And he's like, are you going to actually teach me to do this? And she's like, yep. So they begin to sword fight, actually. First time we actually ever see the use of swords. I mean, we had the spears and everything, but, you know. Okay, so he learns a lot of things there. First of all, there is a lot of type of dragons, and a lot of stuff we already know, but it's interesting from a scavenger standpoint. She thinks there's 6 or 7 different kinds, and she's like, and he apparently is clueless, because he's like, there's more than one kind? And she's like, it's kind of obvious. Have you seen the mountain dragons and the swamp dragons? Their faces are different, their scales are different, even their dens or castles are different, according to what he learned. Okay, so what, and he asked, what others are there? So there's the desert dragons, like the one the Dragon Slayer killed. Arctic dragons, apparently who live in the ice and snow. Ocean dragons, who live in the sea. They're pretty sure. Remember, they're very uneducated. How are they supposed to know anything? But they continue to fight, talk about dragons, and I'm skipping over. And he says thank you, because he can't do it without her. But then the bell rings, because they have to, like, run inside. And they run inside the schoolhouse, and the kid's butterfly has a lot of rules. But in the end, he decides he will be a dragon slayer. and one day the dragons would be hiding from him. Dun, dun, dun. So Ivy's drawing, and apparently she's not allowed to do that, so she hides it under her books. She wouldn't get in trouble exactly, but her parents didn't love it. Why can't you spend on something more useful? And what a waste of paper. And whatever. She says, the girls are here again, which means Daffodil and Violet. And she says, please let them stay, because I want something to do. Despite the odds, their True Seafords Club that they made up in the last chapter has lasted. And she's showing them their dragons. Ooh. And she just apparently likes drawing dragons for some reason. And we actually hear what the Wing Watchers are. So they basically just watch the skies to record information about dragons. You can't start Wing Watcher training until you're 12 at the earliest. 4 more years and then they'll be allowed to train. So they are 8. And also, so they start looking at the True Seekers or the Wing Watcher's Guide to whatever. And so they also explain a bit of statistics about the Dragon Slayer's lies. Like, he says he's gone out to the Mountain Palace to bring back, to like scare the dragons. He comes back saying that he'd run up to the gates and demand they fight him, but they all hid. Which is kind of confuzzling that they go, oh no, the Dragon Slayer, everybody hide! Or whatnot. And then he comes back in about a day. But looking at the map, imagine Pyrea is North America. Talisman is about, say Talisman is Oklahoma. Dragon Mountain Palace, probably all the way up in, I don't have a map, but maybe upper Nebraska. You cannot ride on horse all the way over there in a day. Maybe 2 days. It should take days and days and days. Plus, they're in the mountains. It takes even longer. And just a bunch of Dragon Palace statistics. I mean, really, a lot of this book is learning this new world, because they have to introduce the entire thing in one book, which is probably why this is so thick. It is a pretty thick book. And eventually, later, she has to sneak out because she really wants to see the sky. So a really nice Wing Watcher named Foxglove, who she half tricks, half just like genuinely is nice to, takes her outside and lets her see a dragon. And she learns a lot of stuff. For one thing, she goes outside and she learns that if you see a dragon, climb into a big sticky tree and hold on to the middle, because they won't see you and won't bother getting you in a giant sap tree. They also see Ivy's dad, who runs and screams and hides. Not the Dragon Slayer thing, and this increases her suspicion. And they see a black dragon. The rarest of them all. And it's really cute. And she falls asleep with dragons in flight, dreams of wings and scales. Okay, back to Ren. She goes to the Instructable City, with Sky doesn't want her to leave, but she says you can learn to fly. So the Instructable City is built on this giant cliff, and there are two ways to get up. One, you can ride a water wheel, which where hunters put like their carcasses, but occasionally they'll have an old man get up there because he can't climb the really tall steps that lead up to the top of the building. Ren goes over there and tries to blend in with the family, but when she learns that children left behind are taken and stamped to the orphanage, she decides better. She meets a snooty boy named Undauntable with an oversized cat named Dragon, and etc. She produces a baby dragon scare from her pocket, and he really, 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 really wants it. She gives it to him, and in return, he gives her as much silver as she could want. Bit confused about the money, but in the end, she ends up with a lot of stuff. Like, let's see here. I'm just flipping through this. She had with a moss green tunic, fawn brown boots that felt weird after a year of bare feet, a soft brown cloak dyed the gray. She had a map of the continent, 2 loaves of cranberry nut bread, a canteen, a strap for carrying water, 5 books she'd never read before, and an undauntable silver earring. And then she reared back towards the trees and ran all the way home to her dragon. So Ren just found a resource pack. Yay. And it was kind of weird how, and so it starts, Okay, back to Leaf. It's funny, or perhaps terrible, how you could spend your entire life training for one purpose and have everybody decide you were destined for somebody else. He's gotten picked to be a Dragonmancer's thing. I mean, he didn't even pay attention in the quiz. But it's more like what he trusts. And we, in this comment, Ren has developed an inner voice in Leaf's head, who still talks like the 7-year-old she was. She's like, that's because he hates everything. He was supposed to be born as a tarantula. Instead, he came out more or less human. So now he has to talk to people instead of biting them. And that means he's always frustrated and hungry. That's Ren's accurate description of Master Shout. He's just mean and old and destroying. And he's thinking about fantasies where he murders all the dragons. But really, it's not really anything. And the Dragonmancers have recently think that, oh, so gross sunflowers are going too big. Okay, his dad is going to have to cut down half his sunflowers and half of his sheep and give it all to the village, meaning it basically goes right into the Dragonmancer's pockets. And he and his friends are just all grouped together. So we get Rowan here, and we've also got Grove, we've got Leaf, and we've got Cranberry, who's this really cheerful girl. If you ever seen Avatar and you know Ty Lee, she's like that, but her, and if you haven't, then she's like really cheerful and with brown hair, except it's in braids with dyed red to match her name. And she used to be part of a serpent's troop, but then they got separated, and she's still waiting for them to show up. Next, we have Thyme, who's, like, really attractive, but doesn't work a lot, and he's just, like, really, everybody really kind of likes him, and he likes Cranberry. And then we have Mushroom, who nobody really likes, but since Thyme and Mushroom our brother, so everybody liked Thyme, but they're stuck with Mushroom. So they're talking about a dragon palace. Leaf and Grove sneak into Master Trout's office. They find a bunch of papers and books, but behind a bookcase is a map of the dragon's palace, and in the end, Leaf has to copy it. So, and in the end, he just sits down and draws it. So, yeah, he's taking up Ivy's passion. Okay, so they're 12 now, and Ivy's dancing around the room, in Violet's room. The day becoming watches, I can't believe it, she's dancing. And Violet says, I can't believe you talked us into it. I'm supposed to be on law council track. Daffodil declares this is boring, and I'm starting to like Daffodil. We're going to see dragons and watch dragons and ride dragons. Seeing and watching are the same thing, Violet observed, and you're definitely not going to ride any dragons, you lunatic. But Violet's also more realistic, so I'm really conflicted in going for Ivy right now. And they'd all be starting wing watcher training. So there's a big party with a lot of things, and they meet in Foxglove, and Ivy gives Foxglove her best dragon drawing, which is the Nightwing they saw the first time she went out. And in the corner she writes, thank you for everything. And it's really sweet and cute, and Foxglove likes her, which is nice. Oh, and the commander of the Wing Watchers' name is Brooke. And she's like the mom who takes care of everybody, but she's also really energetic and fun and half gets it. She's so genuinely excited that she has new wing watchers. Like, she literally goes, quote, my baby, so Raylan, you're my favorites. And her son, Forrest, goes, what about me? And she says, you're my favorite son. These three are my favorite recruits. And he gets a skeptical look, probably because he's Brooke's only son. But anyway. Besides, they're thinking about rewriting the new wing watchers. And Ivy's dad makes a big whole scene where he's like, blah, 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 Ivy, blah, 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 more Ivy, smartest girl in Valor, ha, 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 I'll stab them with my sword, good old thing. But what you do is more important, too, and he's just acting like a complete show-off and jerk. But anyway, we always need you watching the sky, et cetera, et cetera. And in the end, the last thing she thinks is, well, I have to choose between my friends, my dream, and dragons, or my family. Choose the friends, dream, and dragon. I mean, really, you got your weird, sentimental mom, your crazy dad, or you've got, let's see, dream of riding dragons, all these cool things, your amazing drawings, your best friends, and everything. Oh, my God. Part 2. Oh, Jesus. We're so far into the episode. So, I'm going to stop it there. This is Dragon Slayer. Part 1. Anyway, that's all for today. I'm really sorry if that episode was messed up, weird, crazy, dysfunctional, fast, or anything in the bad category. Also, if you did not get mentioned because you go on other platforms, I apologize. I only have actual access to Apple Podcasts. So if you're going to want to be heard of, please do that if you can. Anyway, that's all for today. Thank you.